no, Elizabeth. It's just me so far as I know.
Hi, Anne. Did it sound like somebody else joined in after you or after me?
I got one message overlapping the other, and I don't know if it was the message for you or if it was somebody else logging in anonymously.
Okay. Somebody else there?
I'm anonymous.
Hello, Anonymous.
Why did I have a feeling it was that particular Anonymous? Okay.
Can we call you Nani for short?
Oh, please do. Hey, Susie. By yourself?
Ed's here, too.
Ed? Yeah. Hey, Ed. Did you get my email with Tom and AC?
Hey, Ron.
Who were you talking to about?
Oh, Ed, I sent out an email to Ed, Tom, and Keith about Thursday's telecon.
He's not, he did get it.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Is this a telecon I'm not invited to? Because I would like to rejoice at that news.
Are you interested in on Mars or on Moon?
What am I thinking? No, of course I'm not interested. I have no reason to be in the telecon. I'm mildly interested in the moon, but...
Morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. So, Anne, you don't want to put your small bodies apps into a GIS system?
Sure.
Oh.
Why not? Who says I don't?
I'll forward you the email and you can decide if...
No, I'm not into the meeting! I would be interested, but I can't do anything about it this week. Epoxy has had a major hardware catastrophe that I'm trying to recover. It's a bus.
Adam?
Which is basically why I had to just drop out of the conversation that we were having about multiple keywords, because I just got to the point where I couldn't follow it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 6 hours this morning rebuilding operating systems on a new computer. And when I just ran the final reboot, it told me it couldn't load the operating system.
Cool.
Yeah, predictable, really.
I have those months.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to get very drunk during the course of this meeting as a relaxation thing. Is that okay? You're not recording this or anything, right?
That's okay. I don't think we've blackmailed anyone yet. All right, Ron, are you in charge or am I?
Oh, are we getting started? I was reading email. We can, sure. So on the old business, we have the 1125, which is at the SETI Institute. I got an email, was it from Rita, saying that it had passed, is that correct?
No, it was from me to Rita and the MC.
Oh.
yes, it did pass. So it's now officially at the TG approved level, and I sent it on to the MC for their 2-week comment or no comment phase. I did want to make one comment. We only had 6 nodes actually register votes on this, despite my sending out a reminder. Again, if we're going to be doing votes via email or the web or whatever, we need nodes to be participating. If this had been at all controversial, we might have had a problem getting it through.
Well, how many nodes are there if 6 wasn't enough?
9 votes is the total number. 8 nodes plus radio scientists.
I think I can understand why Dick didn't have a chance to vote if he didn't. I mean, we sent you one, didn't we?
Let me see. Who were the 3 nodes that didn't vote? I'll pull this up real fast. Mitch was one of the ones that didn't vote.
I did, too.
Okay, how did you vote?
Oh, I'll bet I didn't. Is this the new one where you have to go online and register your vote?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Okay.
Sorry.
Is that system a problem for anybody? Was that part of the issue?
I had started to register my vote by hitting reply and then saw the note that said go online to do it. And
Todd, okay. Yeah.
So you can take that as just my fault. It's not that the system is cumbersome.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Imaging, NAIF, and Rings were the ones that didn't vote on this one. Okay, I was my biggest concern, Mitch, was that you had assumed that I was going to record you as a positive vote because it was your SCR, and I just want to make sure that everybody was clear that I don't do that.
No, I knew that. I had it in my mind that I had voted because, like I said, I hit the reply button before I realized it, and then I just forgot about it.
Gotcha. Okay, so, not a problem.
So, Elizabeth, just to clarify, is this closed, or do you still need votes?
It's closed.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can record your vote after the fact if you want, but it is closed at this stage. So,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, yes, that's now in the MC's hands, and I expect in 2 weeks from, I believe it's Monday, this past Monday, it will close if we don't hear anything back from them. So I think that's all that we need to say on that one. Okay, Ron?
They had, the management council has 10 working days, is that what it is?
10 working days, yes.
Okay. Hey, Dick.
Good morning, Ron.
How the heck are you? We have a full house today, except for Nate.
Cool.
All right, so we just finished talking about 1125, the Ad Steady Institute. It's TG approved after management council 2 weeks old.
Elizabeth, it's Susie. I have a question about that.
Go ahead, Susie.
I did vote for the Steady Institute thing, and I also added a comment where
yes.
There was a place to add a comment, but I don't know whatever happened to the comment, which was, this should also be added to producer institution.
Right. Basically, the comment is recorded. It's recorded much the same way we record comments all the time in terms of how it, once it gets into the system. If you go to the web page for that SCR, you go down to the vote section and you click on your node name. Basically, all the nodes that provided comments, the node name is highlighted. You click on that, it shows the comment.
Ah.
Now, as to your second question, which is how does that get back to the working group, I don't have a clue. We've never had a process for what we do with those comments that occur during the voting phase.
Okay.
And maybe this is something that we need to think about in terms of our living document describing the standards process.
Okay.
That, you
That's
know,
a good enough answer for now.
Pardon me?
That's a good enough answer for now.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and the rest of it is I made a note that there is a comment, and I'll probably do another SCR. Because you're right, we do need to add it there.
Okay. But, yeah, just in terms of comments that are made during votes, they are available along with the vote totals on the web page for each SCR. Okay, Ron, I guess we're on to new and ongoing discussions.
Yeah, you can. You're in control.
Yep, okay, I'll just go down the list. Okay, 1118. This is the SCR that's talking about adding the information about how to archive the ICD and CISs to, you know, how to add them to an archive, given that they've been called out for that purpose in the proposer's archiving guide, I think it is. Susie and I have been exchanging a bunch of emails. Ron's been CC'd on all of them. And we've been, the biggest issue that has come up is whether or not these, particularly the ICD, should even be included in the archive. As I say, it is called out in the PAG document, but what we wanted to do was to survey the nodes and find out, does it make sense to have this document included in the archive? Do you have the wording in front of you, Susie?
No, I don't.
Hang
and
on.
Geo does not think it belongs there, and the reason is I think that the author, who I think was Rita, was confused between ICD and CIS when she wrote that.
Okay. I'm not convinced that she was confused, but I'm completely open to, you know, not having it required. Who did you just say doesn't believe it should be required?
Geo,
okay. Let me just go through. Here is what the documentation says. In the definition stage of archive production, each instrument team and a PDS representative will work out an agreement that defines the archiving tasks that each party will perform along with a schedule. This agreement is documented in the interface control document signed by the instrument PI, the node manager, the mission project manager, and the PDS program manager. The ICD will define the scope of the task, and although this is generally a separate document for large, complex missions, it may be a component of the data management and archive plan for smaller missions. The ICD is a living document in the sense that it is continually revised to reflect changes in the data product. The most current version of the ICD should be included in the archive.
And sorry, Elizabeth, where were you reading from?
This is from the PAG, whatever the heck the PAG is.
Okay,
the Proposer's Archive Guide?
Right.
Yeah. It's that last sentence that we wanted to follow up and find out whether or not all the new nodes do agree with that.
Can you repeat the last sentence?
No. I'm sorry, repeat. Okay, Todd, why don't you go first?
I was just wondering, what is that last sentence again?
The most current version of the ICD should be included in the archive. Okay, somebody else spoke. I think, was it Rose? No?
No, it was Susie. I was asking, has any other node ever or habitually put an ICD as part of their archive?
I don't think we do.
Imaging hasn't, and I don't think it should be.
Okay, then what I would
say... Hang on a second. Mitch, turn.
Okay.
Ann,
yes,
what was the document that New Horizons put in? I thought that was actually an ICD, not a CIS.
I don't remember. And New Horizons hasn't delivered anything yet of any consequence, so...
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not at home, and I don't have my New Horizons stuff, but I would have sworn they were referring to it as an ICD.
Well, you know, that's the problem, because the missions define these terms differently from PDS, and I've seen things with exactly the same initials with different names, or the same names and different content, and so on and so forth. And I haven't seen two missions do it the same way yet. I mean, mind you, the sample size is small, but they're, like, not even close to doing it the same way. And on top of that, the vast majority of our data sets by number of data set IDs aren't associated with the mission and don't have the document to begin with.
The New Horizons ICD, I've been reviewing it because the REC stuff is in the fire again. It's more of a CIS than an ICD in the way it's defined
PDF.
Here. So I don't think we should consider the New Horizons ICD to be an ICD. We should view it more as a CIS.
Well, we have to, this is Keith, we have to be careful. ICD is just a generic interface term. We just have to specify which kind of ICD are we talking about, between the mission and PDS or between different groups in the missions. That's why I think that some of the ICDs look more like CISs, because they really are, in effect, a CIS, but just defining between groups within the mission.
Okay, I'm sorry, was that Keith you said?
Yeah, this is Keith.
Okay.
There is a definition in what Elizabeth just read, and I'm okay with that.
What we're looking at is the document that the team uses to describe the instrument and the data products.
No, that's not what we're looking at.
Not an ICD.
What we're looking at, that what you're talking about is a CIS. What we are looking at is the document that describes who has what responsibilities among the PDS in terms of the node versus the mission teams, who does what parts of the archiving process.
That's also a data management plan.
Right.
One of the problems, Elizabeth, is, and this is Micah Hearn's big crusade, is we keep writing these definitions for the documents in terms of a big mission, where something like Cassini, which had multiple documents, an ICD and a CIS and whatever, and the small missions, like Deep Impact, have one document that's a one-size-fits-all. It talks about whose job is what and what the instruments are. We want to make sure that it's not the name of the document that gets it in. We want the contents identified that we want in.
Okay, Mitch, if I could respond to that. Number one, the definition that I just read does make an allowance for smaller missions. It says it will be a separate document likely for large missions, and for smaller missions it's often rolled into the data management and archive plan. I agree with you. It sounds like we've got different people using the same terms in different ways. However, what we need to decide is, do we agree with the statement, the most current version of the ICD should be included in the archive? And yes, we fully acknowledge that in the cases of data sets that aren't related to a mission or are related to older missions, this document isn't going to exist and we're not going to require it to be created just for the purpose of archiving it. However, when it's created, should it be archived? And if it should be archived, then we need to come up with a standardized way of naming it. It would be what I would suggest.
Well,
so do we agree that it should be archived if it exists?
Are you still taking your poll?
Yes.
Then how about just going down through the list of nodes? We're losing organization here.
Yeah.
Okay, ATM, yes or no? Atmosphere.
Yes or no to what question again?
Okay, if an ICD exists, so basically, let's even get away with the name, or get away from the name. If a document exists that defines the role of the mission versus the PDS in the archiving process, should that document be archived, included in the archive?
Should? Well, no. Can it? Of course. I mean, I don't think it needs to be required, but there's no restriction on not including it either.
I think the question is whether it's required.
No. Okay.
You can put anything you want in the archive.
Here's what I'm struggling with. The PEG says should. Now, I know we've had a million discussions about the fact that should's a bad word and we should either have required or permitted or whatever. The fact is the PEG says should. What are we supposed to do with that? Do we agree with it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's see that if we don't agree with it, and we don't because we don't like the word should, then we'll have to have somebody draft out a one-line change to the PEG that changes that to whatever we decide is appropriate.
Right.
Okay, so should is going to fall by the wayside. So the question is, do we want to use phrasing that requires it if it exists or makes it permissible if it exists or
okay.
It prohibits it if it exists?
So what we would be looking at is a change, rather than saying the most current version of the ICD should be included in the archive, to something like, if an ICD exists, it may be included in the archive.
Versus it must be included in the archive.
Okay.
That would be the other option, right?
But that's not really an option since there is not necessarily an ICD for every data set.
Yeah, that's why she started it with, if an ICD exists.
See, part of the problem, too, is that some ICDs really contain SIS material, like with the Huygens data set. We called them ICDs, but they were more SISs than ICDs.
Right. That's why Elizabeth clearly defined the document contents as being the
sure,
description of the roles and responsibilities of the two organizations.
Yeah. If the document contains nothing more than the roles and responsibilities of the two organizations, then I would suggest that it does not belong in the archive. It doesn't need to be there.
Okay.
If the document contains information regarding either the instrument or the data products, which we normally associate with a SIS, but maybe by some teams incorporated in some other document, whatever that document is, should be, must be included.
Okay, let me follow up on what Mitch just said. Okay, the first part of that was if the document only contains things relating to work agreements, who does what, then it doesn't belong in the archive. Who else agrees with that statement?
Radio science agrees.
Yeah.
Small bodies agrees.
I would agree, too, and by definition, that's what the ICD is, according to this PEG. It says the ICD is to contain the archiving task and which party will perform it, along with the schedule. That defines the content of the ICD. Now, what some might call the ICD may have different content, or some of that might be part of the data management plan and smaller missions. So,
I looked at it twice. I thought it was 3/8.
Okay, so if it does not contain any of the traditional SIS information, we're talking strictly work agreement schedule, that kind of stuff, RINGS, GEO, Radio Sciences, SBN, and PPI all believe it shouldn't belong in there. Is there anyone else who wants to register a vote, like imaging?
Yeah, I did say it. I probably got
grounded.
Probably didn't hear me. So, yeah, I agree.
Okay. SBN, GEO, who am I missing? Engineering node, NACE is not here. I'm missing somebody. Atmospheres. Lyle, you said it doesn't belong as well? Lyle, did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, I would say that based on the definition of the ICD that we're talking about, no, it doesn't particularly belong, but it doesn't hurt to have it either.
Okay, then that is slightly different. I will put that down. Okay. It doesn't hurt to have it. Okay, great. All right.
Isn't this kind of a question of desire? It's kind of like, what do we really want to put in the archive? Do we want to preserve all the project documentation as part of what we put in the archive? Or are we really talking about just that documentation which describes what we archived in this particular data set? And we capture that in different ways.
Right.
In terms of what's the structure of this archive, what are the contents of it, and it isn't always captured in a single document, though.
Right.
A lot of times we extract that from multiple documents. So.
Okay. I think the kind of documentation that it sounds like most of us do believe belongs in the archive is what would be put in what the PAG is describing as the archive and the data product, excuse me, the archive volume sys and the data product syses.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the PAG also specifies in either case the resulting documents should be included in the archive. Let me just go ahead and read the entire paragraph here. It's a short one. It is common to document the volume structure in an archive volume sys. The archive volume sys may be combined with the individual data product syses as separate chapters in a single document. In either case, the resulting document should be included in the archive. You know, Susie, here is where you may be... Okay, and then the data product syses. During the next stage, each instrument team will produce a software interface specification document that describes data processing plans and the data products and its format at the bit level if necessary in sufficient detail for assignees to use them.
I think, Elizabeth, it goes back to what you said before. If these documents exist, they should be archived. But we don't want to rewrite those standards reference in such a way to say that every data set must have a sys.
No, and I never intended to do that. What I wanted to do with the standards reference is if we do agree that these documents should be included, if they exist, then what we should do is in those places in the standards reference where reserved file names are described or where the document directory is described, we should list these as examples of the type of document and suggest standardized file names for them.
That's fine.
So that's basically what the SCR was getting at. Okay, let me propose that in cases where archive volume or data product syses exist, they should be included in the archive. Who agrees with that statement?
Radio Science.
Geo.
Imaging.
Okay, RS.
PPI, I mean, if you want, yeah.
PPI, okay.
Elizabeth, can you repeat the statement again?
Sure. In the case where archive volume and or data product syses exist, they should be included in the archive.
Thought we were going to kill the word should.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think what would be a better...
Must.
Are we willing to go with must? Okay, let me throw it out there. Okay, I better write my sentence down before I forget it. in the case where archive volume and or... data product syses exist, they must be included in the archive. Okay, now who agrees with that?
Imaging.
Radio Science has a reservation here. There are certain DSN documents which describe DSN products in excruciating detail, but they're not available in text-only format. I spent 2 weeks converting one of those to text several years ago. I think an option is to point to those. We're talking about minimal labels here. Point to those or have a full PDS label. I'm not sure I would go with the must.
You reminded me, a good point, Dick, because like as you're saying, a lot of graphics and other things can be in those documents.
Yeah, I certainly would strongly recommend it, but at some point, it becomes so much work to convert these documents to an acceptable PDS format, and the user community is so small that it's really not useful in a cost-benefit sense.
Are we comfortable using terminology of it is recommended, or is that essentially the same as should?
I would go with should.
I'd rather have should.
Okay, well, they should be.
Or we could qualify it and say must be included, I guess we throw documents that don't have ASCII equivalents into extras or something like that.
Except I mean, the extras is not essentially... Whoa, are you guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was me. I accidentally knocked the microphone.
It's okay. I'm at home on my phone. I just thought I cut everyone off. Okay.
What it is Dick has a valid point.
And
a lot of these documents, while useful when converted to ASCII, become... either difficult to convert or very difficult to even understand.
Right.
I would say almost all of them.
Well, to some extent I agree, to some extent I disagree. I mean, let's face it, any document in Word, all you have to do is a save as text. Now, you lose all your graphics, but you still got the raw text, and that's not hard. I mean, the formatting obviously is going to be ugly.
Try tables. A sys that's got nothing but tables becomes ugly.
That's very true.
How about the... I'm sorry, but it seemed to me, Dick, that the New Horizons converted their PDF text and they basically captured everything as images.
You can do
the insert,
well.
Just
yeah,
separate detached figures.
Yeah, that's okay with me. And I also don't want to discourage people from writing documents that can be converted into ASCII. One of the problems we face is that people decide at the very beginning they want really glitzy documents, and so they build them in these excruciating formats which are impossible to convert to almost anything. So I would prefer that we have them write their documents in ASCII and then later on convert them to PDFs or something. But so I want to encourage that sort of thing, but documents that come from outside organizations, you're just kind of stuck with.
Yeah,
and that's what I face with the DSN.
Given
they're,
that we've
they're 200 pages long, and they're nothing but tables.
Okay, I think we've got, okay, currently on the books, we have the requirement that any documents be included in text format as well. Now, there is another SDR out there to discuss whether or not we need to change that requirement, but for the moment, that's where we're at. I would rather go with a waiver to allow somebody to include a document in a non-text format than I would with sticking it in the extras directory, simply because the extras directory is officially not part of the archive.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess let's given where we're at right now with the text requirement, let's rephrase this as should. So in the case where these documents exist, they should be included in the archive. Radio Sciences, I agree, we've got your reservation. We've got yeses from geoimaging and PPI in addition to that. Does
rings.
Yeah,
rings, okay.
I share Dick's reservation.
Okay.
And depending on the outcome of the other SCR regarding text format requirement,
yeah.
it could really influence this. So.
Okay, and maybe that's something that we can discuss when we discuss that other SCR. Okay.
It seems to me Dick's reservation was not with should, but with must.
With must. That's a good point. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see. Nate is not here. SBN, do you have an opinion, Ann, on this one? Or?
No, I don't. I don't have enough context to have an opinion.
Okay.
Atmospheres agrees with should.
You agree with should. Okay. And then engineering should weigh in. Ron, my personal opinion is yes, they should be included. Do you agree or disagree? Or Steve, I guess Steve's on here.
I'm on. Yeah, I agree with you, Elizabeth.
Okay. All right. Okay.
This still begs the question, Elizabeth, when we get a mission like New Horizons, which did a combination SIS and ICD,
right.
And they called it ICD, we don't want them to think that that isn't what we want.
Right.
We do want that document.
Right. Okay, then it sounds like what this SCR basically needs to do is suggest some changes to the PEG to clarify the language, make it clear how we handle these combined documents or documents that may be misnamed by our definitions, and then come up with some standardized file names to suggest that missions use when the documents are included in the archive. Does that sound okay with everybody as sort of the general thrust of this SCR?
Yeah, the history behind this is that Joe Zender went off and created a volume SIS, folded in the product SISs, and called it an ICD.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And that's where the PEG context was when we were writing that document.
Okay.
So I think given that the ICD that we're talking about is roles and responsibilities, maybe it's not even an ICD, so perhaps there's an even better term that we could come up with, something that wouldn't carry all this history along with it and be confusing because different people interpret it different ways. So I would encourage you to look into coming up with an entirely new term for this document.
I would add to that either a new term or clarify that it's really content regardless of what the document type
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I would kind of lean towards the latter. What I was going to suggest is that we describe the content of particular kinds of documents and then say this document is normally called
right.
X or
right.
Y.
And,
yeah.
And whether that content is integrated into other types of documents, it is that content that's important.
Right.
So...
Okay.
And that might help with the small mission, big mission, where they either have one document or multiple documents.
Right. Okay, sounds good. I think we've got some direction now. We can go off and put an SDR together. Appreciate that. Okay, the next one then is 1119, which is the distinction between the required and optional keywords on the image map projection. Chris?
Yeah, Elizabeth, I guess the short answer, I have a little bit more to add, is that I've yet to convene the group as a whole.
Okay.
I know that Patty and maybe you have started some research on the topic, and also I know you and I talked earlier when this was first defined to
right.
where to go from here, so the action is still on me to get us convened to start the SCR.
Okay, sounds good.
And Elizabeth,
mm-hmm.
Maybe it's on the website, but I know we should start now or right away, but is there an urgency or a timeline that would be relevant for this SCR?
No pressing time, nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Okay. The next one listed is 1121. This is moving the software object from the required to optional in the catalog object definition. Just a status update on this. As of midnight tonight, if I haven't heard from the MC, this will become formally approved. And then head towards implementation. 1122, which is add values for the LRO mission phase names, same as with the previous one. At midnight tonight, if no word from the Management Council, that one becomes approved. On to 1123. Correct the unit ID for the spacecraft target velocity vector. I'm the lead on that. I have nothing to report in terms of an update. That's a simple no-brainer that I just haven't gotten to yet. Okay. 1124. This is the PSDD enhancement. Add case to keywords of type character. Ron, you're the lead on that?
Nothing's happened.
Okay, no update. Multiple occurrences of the 1126. Multiple occurrences of the same keyword in an object, valid or not. Anne, you're the lead on that one.
Yeah, we've been having email discussions up until I dropped off the face of the earth earlier this week. We were sort of converging on a solution. Sorry?
I said it's nice to have you back.
I'm not actually back.
I hope it was a good re-entry.
No. That was very rough. And I think I left my capsule behind, so I have to go get it.
Oh, kind of a little burned up.
Yeah. In any event, so we were sort of converging on a general consensus that having a keyword occur more than once in a particular scope is a bad idea because we have syntax that will allow you to have multiple values sorted or unsorted, and so there's no need or reason to have two syntax options to do the same thing. It just makes everybody's life hell. Then we started to get into the side issue of, well, what effect does this have on pointers? And I had developed an argument in my head that this doesn't actually have an effect on pointers, but I never wrote that down, so we didn't proceed any farther than that in the discussion. So it's waiting for me basically to pick the discussion back up again, scope the problem down to, okay, this is now we need to figure out what changes in the standards and where is the right place to put it, and then do some wordsmithing. So we got another couple weeks to go on that.
Okay. Sounds great.
Given my probable time availability this week and next.
Gotcha. So. You mentioned pointers. Is that at all connected with the following thing? Or SCR 1127 deals with pointer object ambiguity in the standards reference.
Yeah, well, the question was, is a pointer, the left half of a pointer statement, is that the same thing as a keyword? And if it is, then if you don't allow multiple keywords in the same scope, then you automatically can't have two pointers with the same name in the same scope.
Okay.
But in digging through the standards, I reminded myself that pointer names aren't keywords. They're object identifiers. And there still isn't any constraint that I can find anywhere that says you can't repeat the same object identifier. And I think a side question was raised about, well, what about objects that don't have specific identifiers like columns within tables? So I was going to get all that data together and send it out. So the discussion on pointers, I think logically will be better off if we wait until the question of all the related side issues with multiple keywords in the same scope is settled so that we have our terminology straight. It's almost the same group. I think there's one person who switches out for another. I'm sorry, I can't remember who the people are
at
the moment.
I've got Simpson
on
1126. Oh, both Simpson and Todd King are on 1126, and neither of them's on 1127.
Really? Okay.
I'd like to be, if I could be added to 1127, because
okay.
Like Anne says, we're kind of thinking about very similar issues. And I think the only thing I would add is that, we kind of have three types of pointers. And I think this one is focusing on pointers to objects.
Yeah, I think we have actually, isn't there four types of pointers defined in the standards?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
Maybe.
I thought there were four types of pointers defined in the standards, but in any event, they're defined.
Right, because there's pointers that act like includes.
That's right.
Which should be, you know, you don't give them unique names.
Yeah, I have to look up
like
the constraints on those pointers because I'm more familiar with the object pointers since
right.
I had to look that up for another reason anyway. So I need to go back and compare what the constraints are on other types of pointers, and I have to differentiate between PDS constraints versus ODL definitions because
right.
it makes a terrible difference to some people over in Europe. So I need to go through and research the details on the pointers, but clarifying what a keyword is and what its scope is and that sort of situation will help to limit the discussion on pointers, I think, to stay on topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's my
important.
Hope anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Okay. 1128, which is add new browse usage ID. This is Ed, the CR.
Yeah, just this morning I sent Al the SCR to Steve Adams, and I also copied Steve Hughes, asked them to comment on that by next Wednesday. I sent it to Steve because Steve is listed on the website as part of the working group.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he is or not, but he was there when Dave, Heather, and I talked about it. So.
Yeah, I do have you listed, Steve.
I've already printed out the file and started going over it.
Okay, Steve Hughes, are you aware you're on that one?
I'm fine. I'm fine to be on that.
Okay. Yeah, I've got you both listed, so.
Ed, can you give a little maybe overview of kind of what values browse usage ID would have, or what's the...
Okay, so the background is that there's a local keyword or a keyword in the Mars Express local data dictionary called browse index ID. And or browse usage ID, I'm sorry. And what they do is they have cases where there's either more than one browse product for a given product or a browse product can be referenced to more than one data product. And they, in Mars Express, they use this. They have values of primary, secondary, or not applicable. And they use this within their user interface to help guide what they display when a user looks at information about a product. And I guess also a user can use it to understand the kind of hierarchy of the different browse products related to a data product.
Go ahead.
And the issue is that now Rosetta and Mars Express want to use a similar, Venus Express, thank you, Susie, want to use the same keyword, so rather than carry it over to their local data dictionaries, they're asking to migrate it to the main data dictionary.
Okay, so this would be, it's not to deal with things like thumbnails and other kind of browse-related derivatives, I guess, of a full...
I guess it could relate to thumbnails. I mean, typically they're either plots or images of, you know, some sort of representation of the data product.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, because when we, for tabular data that we handle, we sometimes generate a thumbnail or a low-resolution plot and that's displayed when we do browsing through the data or through the data set to help the user do a selection.
Right.
And this seemed to be more focused on image objects rather than... I was just wondering if you thought it was something that could be applied in the situation where we have, like, you know, thumbnail images or browse images of tabular data.
Right. I think it could.
Okay.
And I think the Mars Express case came about mainly through MARSIS data, which is the radar sounder, where they could either have, like you say, tabular data that's plotted, you know, it's X versus Y, or then groups of products can be grouped together in something called a radargram, where you have kind of time in one axis and a long track in the other, where time represents how deep you're penetrating into the surface. So that's really built up from a number of products.
Right, right. I guess rather than join the working group, I just kind of leave that as sort of input, I guess.
Elizabeth, I looked at the website today and I didn't see the initial document or documents that we sent you posted on the website.
Oh boy, this is 11:28.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're right. And I was trying to remember. I knew there had been one that had been brought up, and I thought it was one of the others, but I hadn't posted it yet. Okay, so ERI.
When you do that, can you send email to the? I was able to read some of that material, but.
Post material received.
Yeah, and any others who want to comment is fine. I did look today to see if anybody had posted anything on the blog, but I guess if the material's not there.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Am I sending out a notice to the entire tech group?
Or just me? I'd like to know when it's posted.
Okay.
I'll go visit it. I don't know if others are interested in reading it.
Just as a matter of course, when you post a new SCR to the page, do you send out a note to the tech group saying it's there?
If it's only, it depends on the context. If it's being posted out there as material in preparation for a discussion with the entire tech group, then yes. If it's only being posted out there possibly for the other members of the working group or something like that, then no, I might just inform the working group members.
Right.
So basically, yeah, if we're entering the in-review status, then yes. Either I would send out a notice if it's midweek, or if it's happening roughly around the time of a telecon, it may go out with the telecon agenda.
And that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, so I will get to that, Ed. Sorry about that.
I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
If we have values like primary and secondary, is ID the right way to build this keyword? Primary and secondary don't strike me as IDs. The other question is there any way to understand what primary and secondary mean? Because I can see a keyword like this becoming something like document topic type, which sounds good when you start, but if you look at the standard values, it's become totally useless. Ed can digest this, but...
Well,
I think we need somebody from engineering node to deal with the ID question.
One aspect of that, Dick, is that this keyword is currently being used in a local data dictionary.
Right, but that doesn't mean we have to accept their bad construction practices.
Yeah, it's a type. I agree with it. Dick, as a type, ID is maybe unusual.
Okay, I'm sorry, Todd, I'm not quite sure I followed your point.
Well, it ends in ID, which means it's an identifier.
Right, and so you're agreeing with Dick that this is a problem?
Well, yeah, but I also realize it's kind of an inheritance issue. You know, we're trying to inherit something from Mex, which may have given it a wrong a name to start with.
But it's a local keyword. We don't have to inherit it if it's bad. We can modify it.
That's true.
So that we have something that's equally useful, but it's constructed properly.
Yeah, that was kind of the point of the local dictionaries, was to keep that sort of corruption of the original formation standards from being propagated.
It's actually one of the reasons why I've been pushing all along that local data dictionaries should not be allowed to have bad formed keywords in them.
I'm sorry, the line's gotten very noisy.
I know,
I can't hear you.
Elizabeth, somebody's rustling a lot, and I can't hear what you're saying. Everybody mute except Elizabeth.
Okay. I was saying it's one of the reasons I've been pushing all along, such that local data dictionaries cannot contain badly formed keywords, that even there we need to continue to enforce the rules for forming keywords, such that when they do get promoted, we don't, you know, bring problems in or have the potential to bring problems into the main data dictionary.
True. I mean, that would be good practice.
Anyway, we're getting a little more
at this point, it's just food for Ed's working group, isn't it?
Right. Okay. So, Ed, yeah, take that all as input in your working group, and obviously these issues may come back up when we go into discussing the SDR in the full group.
Dave did say that Mars Express was willing to redo the labels that are using this. I'm not sure which data sets are doing that at present. So if we want to change the name of the keyword, that they probably would still go along with that. But I'd have to pass that through Dave.
Well, they could add another keyword to their local data dictionary, which would be more in line with our construction practice. I don't think this is something we have to worry about. If they're willing to change, that's great.
Yeah, we just want to get in front for Venus Express. And
well, Venus has been collecting data for 18 months. There may be some archives already.
Okay. Ed, I appreciate the update. We'll look forward to reading that. Any final comments on that one, or can we move on? Okay. The next one is SDR 1114. This is an SDR I put in a while back, and I basically wanted to find out if it's still relevant. This came up when I was originally trying to put together a PDF version of the data dictionary, and discovered that because we have not had a hard copy version of the data dictionary for, I believe, about a decade now, very few people have been paying attention to the standard value output flag when they've been adding new keywords. That is the flag in the data dictionary that decides whether or not the standard values for a keyword get printed out into the Appendix A of the hard copy of the dictionary. The result is that we've got a rather haphazard collection of standard values. Some keywords that have their standard values printed out, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. For example, we've got the volume set ID printed out, which means that every single volume in the PDF archive is listed. I'm not sure that there's much point to having that printed out. Similarly, every target name is printed out, every data set ID, every data set name, things like that. They run on for pages, and again, I'm not sure it makes sense, given that they are available through the online interface, that they be printed to the hard copy. On the other hand, there's probably a lot of keywords that should have their standard values put out in sort of a default appendix, but they're not. Now, the question is, does this matter anymore, given that at the Management Council we talked about having customizable data dictionaries where you could either choose to have all standard values listed or no standard values listed? Do we still want to have an intermediary list, a sort of default list of standard values, and if so, is this the right way to go about it, using this standard value output flag, or do we want to use something else like all keywords with a certain class name or class component would be printed out? So,
I just have one question about
sure.
It. How does this affect what goes into the PDSDD.full file?
Does the .full file list standard values?
Yes, it does.
Then
it's
my guess
one of the more useful features of
the my guess would be that it lists all of them.
It lists all of them, Mrs. Steve.
Yeah.
So if something has standard values, it lists them?
That would be my understanding, yes.
Huh.
I don't believe that it – my understanding of this keyword is that it only impacts the hard copy display, which
okay.
would be the PDF.
For some reason, I didn't think that was true, but I don't actually know why I thought that was not true. Why is that?
Well, a question I was going to ask, maybe this is your reason. There are standard values that you can only find by going to pdsdd.full, and sometimes you can find them in the online data dictionary and sometimes not.
That does not make sense. No.
Yeah. No, I never use the online data dictionary. I always use the pdsdd.full file for everything I do, but
okay.
I thought that the pdsdd.full file was missing standard values for some things, but I don't know why I thought that.
Okay. Now, let me just give the caveat up front that John Ho is the only one that can answer this definitively. Unless, actually, Ron, were you involved in writing the software, or was it John that did it, that produces the pdsdd.full?
they're both identical, right? They're driven off.
I mean, that was
same.
My understanding. Yeah, that what's in the PDFCD.full should be identical with the online data dictionary. And I find it difficult to believe that there's any online listing that doesn't contain standard values. But,
well, like I said, it's not the online listing that I ever use.
Right, but I'm addressing Susie's comment.
Yes, I think I've had cases where I've tried to look up standard values, knowing there are some, and I couldn't find them in the online.
Okay, then you need to point those out because that simply shouldn't happen. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that's happening. Something's wrong.
Can anybody name a keyword that ought to have standard values that you think doesn't?
No, I can't think of it right off the top of my head.
Neither can I.
Speaking of mismatches, Elizabeth, there were those two that I pointed out to you that had been updated recently that made it into PDSDD.full, but the changes did not make it into the online dictionary, which was strange. Or maybe it was the other way around.
It's possible it could be the other way around, but that's an issue of the fact that the online dictionary is always up to date, whereas the PDSDD.full only comes out with the official releases. In other words, you're seeing stuff. In a sense, think of the online data dictionary as a permanent beta version. You're always seeing stuff even pre-release. If it's been approved, it's in there, even if it hasn't been formally released yet.
Right. I will
at the formal releases is when the PSDB.full comes out.
I don't remember now. I'll dig up those two emails. There were two cases where some standard value was supposed to be changed, and it just the validation tool kicked it out. So that must mean that it was not in PDSDB.full.
Which means there wasn't a build in the interim
that
caught the additions. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, again, Susie, if I did not address your email, please go ahead and
It was a while ago.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Yeah. If you can find that and find out whether or not that was resolved, I would appreciate it.
Okay.
Like I say, it's possible to have a mismatch in the sense of the PSDD.full doesn't have every change that's been made in the online version, but it will at the next build. But the other way around should not happen.
Okay. I have a comment on whether or not the document should contain the standard values or not, and I would say that other things I've worked on, we have nice online dictionary tools kind of like PDS does, and there's even some of the most tech-savvy people still prefer a printed document like a PDF because they like to search it. They like to, do things with it that you can't do with your online interface.
Well, okay, keep in mind, Todd, though, I've already offered to make it available to have all standard values in a printed version. The question is, do we want to make it possible to have a subset of the standard values?
Well, see, isn't that an interface thing? I mean, the printed documents, I guess what I was going to say, the bottom line is, the printed document that PDS distributes should be complete, which means a printed document should contain all standard values. Now, we may want to separate the standard values out of the appendix, put it in a separate document, but it should be complete.
Okay. At the Management Council, we talked about this, and I offered to produce an interface that would allow you to print out a customized version of the data dictionary for your own use. You could either have it print all the standard values or print none of them. The question is, do people want through that customizable interface to have the ability to print a subset, sort of the logical set of standard values? And if so, I need some key, some way of identifying what that default set is.
Okay.
The standard value output flag is one possible way to do it. There are some other possible ways
to do it. Okay, if that's the kind of survey question, I would say I think those that want customized views are going to use the online interface. I don't think they need a custom my printed document. So I don't think it's necessary.
We're having a disconnect here, Todd.
I thought you just said you proposed putting up an interface that allow people to print a customized version of the data dictionary.
Right.
Of the standard values to the data dictionary. People, you go in and you say, okay, I want to download a PDF file. Okay, standard values. You may have all of the standard values, none of the standard values, or some predefined default subset of the standard values that drops off things like data set IDs. Right, Elizabeth? Those are the three. And right now, you're giving the first two options, all the standard values or none.
Right. And I
want to. And you want to know whether or not a third option, which is a subset of the standard values, that includes some sort of logical default that is not tailorable except by us at the PDS. That is, the user doesn't come in and say, I just want standard values for these four keywords. You won't give them that option.
Yes. That is exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You got it.
And what's the driver for this, I guess, other than...
You guys.
The question is, okay. Do we want to, if we only have all or none, then we no longer need this SDR.
Right.
We don't have to go through the data dictionary figuring out which ones are the logical subset. If we want to offer the logical subset, then we have to do that. I think that's not worth doing. I think that's work we don't need to do, because I would download the full... I think that having the keywords as a separate document might be a better option than as an appendix, just so that your PDF doesn't have to be too large.
The only application of this that I think would make any sense is if you're trying to generate a version that matches a SIS, for example, saying this project is only going to use these keywords, and so this is all you need to even look at.
Yeah, but we're not doing it that way.
Right.
It's not going to be tailorable.
Right.
And so, for me, I would have the most current set of standard values in the PDF. I'd rather have that as a separate file, if that's possible, rather than as an appendix, so that the one PDF that I really use, which is the data dictionary, doesn't become too large.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not printing it out anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at the hard copy. I just like to have the PDF version.
Right.
But then if I want to chase down standard values, I might as well have them all to choose from, because there will be some obscure keyword I never thought of before that will have standard values I have to accommodate.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Right.
So my opinion would be, no, you don't need this SCR.
Okay.
It took me a while to figure out what I thought.
Let's see. Mitch, could I go back to your point? I like your idea, your point of the three different types. Could we push a little bit again on the need for this SCR? In the past, when the hard copy was the only thing that was produced, it was a critical capability just to remove long lists of standard values. So, for example, target name. I think we're up to several thousand, if not approaching tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the question is, do you want any standard values listed in the hard copy?
I don't see. We're talking hard copy, and I'm talking PDF.
Okay,
which is,
let's just say PDF. I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
that's better.
Which I may or may not choose to print out. I don't see the PDFs needing to provide somebody a document made from a tree.
Yeah.
We provide them a capability so they can kill a tree.
Right.
I think that we should be able to produce a PDF version of the data dictionary with no standard values.
I agree with that.
We should also be able to allow them to download a PDF that contains all of the standard values as a separate document. Call it a detached appendix, if you like.
Okay.
So
those two files. And that pretty much does everything you need. And I don't think that you then need to say, okay, and here's a third PDF you can download that has some but not all of the standard values. Okay. I don't see that one as being that useful.
Okay, that's the one that we used to produce. We
right.
did it in hard copy form. You're saying in PDF form, you don't want that.
Yeah.
Okay, any other comments from other folks on this? I think Mitch just sort of clarified what we're talking about.
Do we feel like we should vote on this? I mean, if we want to take
Again,
it off the queue?
First, I'm looking for a little bit more discussion. How do other people feel about whether or not they want a tailored list of standard values? If they don't want that, then this SCR gets, they won't vote to kill the SCR. Let me put it this way. Who wants the ability to have a tailored list tailored is the wrong word, a default list of standard values?
Default list.
Okay, the way Mitch described it, the all, the none, or the default list. He feels the default list is not necessary. Is there anyone else who feels the default list is necessary or desirable?
I don't understand what it is.
You mean an all-inclusive list?
No. Okay.
Actually,
when the original data dictionary was printed out, okay, back in the days when we did kill trees, we introduced this attribute called the standard value output flag that determined whether or not all of the standard values for a particular keyword would be printed out. We did that because it didn't make sense to print all standard values for all keywords that had them. The problem is that keyword that attribute has not been kept up to date for all of the keywords that have been introduced in the past 10 years. So we now need to determine, is it still necessary to have that attribute? In other words, do we still want to use that attribute to create a default list of keywords that will have the standard values printed out?
Okay, here's what worries me. As I'm sitting here looking at the online dictionary interface, which does tell you what that flag is set to,
yes,
and the PDSDD full file, which doesn't tell you what it's set to, I note that there are keywords that have standard value types, like suggested or dynamic, which would imply to me that they should have standard value lists,
mm-hmm,
but they don't have them in the PDSDD.full file. And when I look at the value, at the definition that's retrieved in the online dictionary for the same keyword, they invariably have their flag set to no. Now
okay,
I'm wondering,
do they have keywords? Do they have standard values through the online interface?
Well, that's the problem. If they have standard values, but the display flag is set to no, how would we ever know what they are?
Because they will show up in the online interface. And give me an example.
Let's see, access process subtype ID.
Access?
Yes, I started at the A's. Application.
Application.
Process subtype ID.
Okay, I'm looking at it. Standard value output flag is set to no.
No,
but
yeah.
But if you go down to the bottom, standard value description. Okay, standard value description is there. Where are the standard values listed? No standard values exist for this element. Okay, I will pretty much guarantee if you go and look in the actual database that contains the dictionary, there will be no standard values listed. That is an error with this keyword that means that somebody submitted it improperly, that the values that are listed down under the standard value description should have been filled in. Actually,
okay,
with an ID keyword, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe this is a specific information for, I'm guessing this is the Mars Pathfinder. Nope, it's not. But what I am saying is that if standard values are listed on the online interface, if the standard value output actually, in either case, my understanding, Ron, and again, you need to correct me, if there are standard values in the dictionary, they will show up in the PDSDD.full.
Yeah, I don't think we paid any attention
to the output flag
in the online version, because it wasn't a question of, as you were saying, killing trees.
Right, exactly. In fact, I think the output flag is specifically defined as output for the hard copy display. Yeah.
Mm. Now, we could make the two coincide.
Make the two...
Well, the online, we could look at that flag on the online interface and not display standard values.
But why do that? Then there's no point in having standard values.
I'm just saying that we could do that. I didn't say we should.
Yeah, to me that doesn't make any sense because, again, as you point out, on the online interface, you're not killing trees. It doesn't matter how long a list you've got. And you need to have some means of getting access to those values.
Here's an example. Look at data set name. You see that the standard value output flag is yes. I'm sorry, that isn't a good example.
They're
all listed, basically.
See, if we get rid of this flag, then we don't have all of these questions.
That's right. Yeah. I think it should be just ignored. The flag should be ignored.
I think the flag should be removed or whatever, just to say this SCR needs to go away. The online should display all standard values.
Yeah.
The dot full file should have all of the standard values.
Yeah.
The data dictionary PDF should have none of the standard values. The separate detachable appendix should have all of the standard values at the time that it was printed.
Yep. And it's your option.
And that should be the option.
Yeah.
And if you want to print out a subset, then you have to cut and paste.
Yeah. Okay. Does everyone agree with what Mitch just said?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I'm okay with the way he said yes.
Okay, any objections to the way Mitch just described it? Okay, now, for the sake of my very faulty memory, let me see if I can copy that down. Okay, so online always displays all standard values. PSDD.full always contains all standard values. PDF contains none. Separate PDF appendix contains all.
Just to clarify, Elizabeth?
Yep.
Even though you said the standard PDF contains none, there would still be indication that there are standard values?
I'm a little puzzled about this last step because this is the way it's currently set up. There is an appendix of standard values, and I'm not convinced that adding them all significantly expands the volume of a PDF.
Oh, yes, it does.
Well, even if it does.
The target name itself is over 50 pages.
Yeah, but that's not much in a PDF. I mean, if you print it out, it's a lot of pages, but as an electronic file, it's not overwhelming.
Okay, the standard value appendix alone is longer than the entire rest of the document.
Okay, so you skip over that. You get tabs.
No, what happens, Dick, one of the problems is if you do a find, a search for in the standard, and you have the standard values, it's really cumbersome. If you have that as a separate document, if you're searching for standard values, you search there. If you have it in the PDF itself, as opposed to it's just a detached appendix, it makes the PDF with the definitions much easier to control and play with, I think.
Much more manageable.
My current standard, my current appendix A is 284 pages, just to let you guys know.
And that's not the standard values.
That is just the standard values.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about the dictionary, aren't we?
So just the standard values alone, yes, is 284.
I think there are some clear advantages to separate the appendix from the main document as a separate physical PDF. I think there are advantages to that.
Okay, and frankly, again, that's an issue of, you know, that's completely customizable. I don't have a problem with that. You want it attached, I'll attach it. You don't want it attached, fine, I'll do it separate.
Yeah.
But the critical point is, do I need to make a distinction between some standard values and not others?
And I
don't hear anybody arguing that that makes any sense anymore.
Right. That's
okay.
What I heard, too.
Okay. Then, as the standards coordinator, I'm going to arbitrarily propose that at this moment we reject SCR 3-1114, and I would like to have a vote on this. Okay, atmospheres. Reject or what would be the other alternative? Not reject, I guess, is what we're looking for. So a yes vote means we want to reject the SCR.
And that was the recommended?
I'm sorry.
That was what you were recommending?
That is what I am recommending.
Fine. I agree to reject it.
Okay. So yes is reject. Help me. What comes next? Geo?
Yes, reject.
Okay. Engineering. Steve?
Hey, you said you as science coordinator, you make your decision. As engineering, know what I'm going to say, not reject.
Not reject. Okay. All right. Imaging.
Reject.
Reject. Okay. What comes after geo would be... wait. Imaging comes... I think I'd know my alphabet by now. I guess NAIF is next. They're absent.
No. This is a separate issue, but I'm sorry.
Mitch, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I'm doing two things at once. What are we doing?
We're voting on whether or not to reject this SCR.
Reject.
What's the SCR number?
1114. Mitch, let's see your rings. Okay, reject. Okay, PPI.
Reject.
Okay, radio sciences.
Reject.
SBN.
SBN wants to know why the system engineer wants to continue with the SCR.
Okay.
As far as a PDF that indicates, for example, you get the PDF that basically has no center values, there was a question about whether or not any standard values exist at all.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind that flag was you'd always listed a few standard values if they existed to give some indicator of what was available. Now, for those data elements that there were a few standard values, of course, they'd all be listed. But, for example, when you're talking about data set names and things like target names, you only listed, let's say, you could list 10 or 20 or something like that. So the idea was that it was an indicator of what was available. It wasn't an absolute list.
Yeah.
Right. But
the SCR is to review all the standard output flag values in the PSDD and modify them somehow.
Right.
And you want to do that?
Well, I think...
I'm not sure...
Steve, maybe I could address your concern. I mean, another potential is to come up with different criteria for determining what to print out. Like you say, if the list is more than 10, you know, you list the first five or something like that.
Exactly.
But as a reference, it shouldn't be an abridged list. It should be a complete list.
Well, what I'm saying is that I think this SCR is dealing with do we want to bridge lists? That's what the original intent was.
No. I don't think so. This SCR is, do we want to go through and review the value of this keyword and change it somehow in the dictionary?
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with the actual output format.
Yeah.
It's whether or not to go and review the value of this flag value. And I thought that the preceding discussion basically reached the conclusion that regardless of what the flag value is, it's basically being ignored because it's not really being used for its original intent anymore and it hasn't been regularly updated. And since it's being ignored and there doesn't seem to be any compelling reason to stop ignoring it, there's no point in going on with the labor requested by this SCR.
Steve, I would like to suggest that what you want can be done through other mechanisms than using this particular attribute, the standard value output flag. You can do it on a combination of the class and the presence or not of existing standard values.
But I think though the PSDD PDF document is something that can be stored separately from the dictionary, the online dictionary. It can be archived. It should be complete, and it should always be complete.
That's fine, but I'm trying to address Steve's concern, which is that when you are trying to help people come up with new standard values or understand keywords, that they might want a sampling of values. And this is actually a different issue. This is not a do we list it or don't. This is a do we list have partial listings or something in some cases.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is I think that that can have value, but that there's other mechanisms by which we can do that rather than trying to deal with this badly out-of-date attribute.
Right. I think this reflects back on what Chris, I think Chris was making the suggestion that there would be some indication in the main document that you need to look at Appendix A for the complete list. And what Steve said can be the way to do that. You can say, okay, I'll show you the first five items from all standard values with a note at the bottom, see Appendix A for the complete list.
Yeah.
So you kind of cover all those bases by, in the main document, you're at least showing some example standard values and reminding the reader that they have to go to the separate Appendix A to see the complete list. So I think there you get a very concise document with examples and still preserve the complete list as part of the printed document or the PDF.
In essence, that's what I was trying to say, is the original intent of that flag was to help the user. We haven't needed that flag because we haven't been producing a hard copy or the PDF documents. Now we're considering to do it again, and I just didn't want to throw away the original intent. We can implement it a different way, certainly.
Okay, well, actually, but Steve, the problem is when you say the original intent, I mean, the only way that I've ever seen that implemented is an all or nothing. I mean, every standard value is currently listed.
No, yeah, I agree with you.
The
original intent was all or nothing, but the intent was that it was to help the user. And I like where Todd was taking this. Maybe it's useful to, you know, list the first five or up to 100, and then, you know, after that you point to the appendix or something. But that's why I said I vote against it, or vote for keeping it.
So I want you to understand what you're saying when you vote that way. You were saying that you want us to do the work of going through and examining every keyword and determining whether or not the standard output value flag is correctly set. That's what you're voting on.
Yeah, I mean, I've voted, so I'm not sure it makes any difference anyway, but what I would suggest is maybe that there's another SCR or another approach that should be proposed to address, what, for example, what Todd was saying.
Yeah, I think you may be right there, but it's not this one.
Maybe it's not this one. Okay.
So to get back to the actual question, sorry for the diversion, but I just wanted to make sure there wasn't something subtle going on.
Okay.
SBN agrees that this SCR should be rejected.
Okay.
But there's probably another one lurking in the wings unless you're going to do something internally that doesn't actually require our involvement.
But I'm just wondering whether, you know, modifying a construction rule for a document needs an SCR.
I'm kind of feeling the same way.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm completely open to having a discussion with you guys about what are the rules I follow to produce those shortened lists, but I'm not sure that it's a standards issue in that sense. It's not.
Exactly.
I'm not sure it's an SCR.
I don't think it is.
Okay, so let me. Okay, probably.
I got to put you guys on hold. I'll be back in just a second.
Okay. To continue discussion regarding rules for short lists.
It was Emily.
So, Elizabeth, are you so I can change my vote?
If you wish to change your vote, you may, sure.
Okay, so there's going to be some type of note to look at some way to do it, and this is what we were talking about.
Yeah, it's in the minutes here.
I reject. Then I vote for reject.
Okay, great. Sounds good. One less SCR. Okay, that was 11:14. Now, resume.
I have a related question now that we're done with that one.
Sure.
I thought we were at the end of the agenda.
Go ahead.
Well, this is reminding me of the standard values talk, reminded me of a particular case that's been troublesome, and that is for units. There are no standard values.
Yes.
And I have a specific question, though, that's really puzzling me. There are no standard values listed for units, no matter where you look, but VTool will tell you, yes or no, this is a standard value. Where is it getting this list of standard values?
It's at the top of the PSDD.full, and I agree it's a problem that is not listed. Basically, I think there's a text description that says that the standard value for unit ID is listed in some other part of the dictionary, which doesn't make sense to me, but that's the way it's handled, and that's why the validation tool is able to do the validation.
All right. Well, I thought the text description refers you to the standards reference, that table that's hard to interpret.
Yeah, and I believe that table is essentially duplicated, although I wouldn't swear that there aren't any inconsistencies there. This is actually something I may need to direct more to Ron and John. I don't understand why things are done the way they are. Something that's sort of legacy.
And I would like to change or maybe add to some of those standard values, but since there's no standard value list, what do I propose to change? You know?
Well, they're not really standard values in the sense that they're matched to a keyword. Each keyword has a default unit, which should exist in the list of acceptable units.
Well, that's not really what I'm talking about. Suppose you have a column definition and you want to define the units for that column. You have unit equals something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I guess right, sometimes I don't. And maybe there are units you all haven't thought of yet that should be in the list. How do I get that in there?
Oh.
One of our favorite small bodies units isn't in this list.
Simple ones like kilometers.
Okay, so Susie, for my clarification, you're talking about the actual keyword unit ID and why does it not have a standard value list, right?
I think the keyword actually is unit.
Unit, okay.
Yeah.
Unit ID is a different thing. So I just don't know how to go, what is the procedure? VTool must have this list that you told me about now.
Actually, there's both unit and unit ID. One is the abbreviated and the other's not.
Right.
Okay.
But those aren't the lists that VTool uses.
I know, but I guess I along with everyone else, we're asking why. Why are they not? Why does VTool not use, why is there not a reference list of the permissible units?
Well, they're actually in the standards, is the base set of units, and it references that silly ISO standard, right?
Right,
But I think Susie's suggesting that it also become part of the dictionary, just like general data type and other things that are really internal.
If VTool can tell that there's an error there, I want to be able to correct the error by either finding out what's the right value or proposing a new value, and there seems to be no mechanism for doing that.
Yeah, there's information in Chapter 18 of the standards reference. I think it's also in the initial part of the PSDD, the part that hasn't been published in years. Hang on.
Well, yeah, but they right. haven't changed in years, so.
I know now where it is, but how do I go about getting
the I agree.
Oh, I think you just contact your friendly data engineer and suggest.
But, Ron, okay, I guess what we're all looking for is why isn't it listed as unit ID, a standard value as a unit ID? Is there some historical reason that it's not in that list of standard values? What is the history on this? Why isn't it there?
Well, that's what I was saying. The units that we've defined and that are in the PSDD.full are not standard values. They are not a set of standard values that are linked to a keyword, either unit or unit ID.
Why not?
Well, I mean, that's way before probably even Steve's time. That was just how things were constructed.
Okay.
Excuse me. Can I come in this? Maybe what we need is a simple SCR that says that we changed the data dictionary so that when you read the definition for unit, you take out the note, a table of standard units representing those published by Systeme Internationale appears in the units of measurement section of the PSDD. Please refer to the table of contents for its location. The values in this table's unit name column constitute the standard values for the data element unit. I think they did this so that if SI changed its units, they would be automatically updated. But it's still someplace in the document. Why don't we put it where it belongs?
Okay.
And that what everybody's complaining, that it's not where we find all the rest of the standard values? And that, by the way, is from the old PDF.
Yeah. I'm open to hearing that there is some rationale for not having it. I'm not.
I don't think there is one.
So was Mitch's suggestion that we have an SCR that will actually populate the standard value list for units?
And for unit ID.
And unit ID. I concur with that. I agree with him.
Yeah.
I'll be on that one.
Okay.
And how are you going to populate those lists?
We would start with the specialty frequently uses non-SI units.
We would start with the list that is the current official list, which is Chapter 2.6 of the PSDD.
Chapter 18 of the standards reference?
Chapter 18 has them in table form, and I'm not sure it's exhaustive. I would have to compare that with 2.6.
Well,
2.6 just lists them.
Right. The author of the SCR or the group will determine what the list should be.
Now, we do also need to point out, though, that Ron has brought up a good point, at least with me, about how, you know, we may well have as a standard value the base unit. Now, this is actually a bad example because this one's covered. But, for example, if you've got meter as the base unit and it's listed in the standard value table, what about millimeter? What about kilometer?
Well, and you have the plural. What you guys are getting into, though, is if you want to do this just for display purposes, fine, but you really don't want to change the structure of the PSDD.full because that would mean a software impact on DTool and LVTool and anything that looks at units using that, which is an implementation issue.
Well,
I understand you can't see those units and you would like to, and we can solve that problem.
Wait, adding standard values to a keyword is changing the structure of the
PSDD. No, that's not what he's saying, Ron, or Todd, I'm sorry. What he's saying is that the validation tool currently reads the list from its non-standard place in the PSDD.full. And if we insist that the validation tool read from the standard value list for unit or unit ID, then it would be an impact on software. However, the way around that is to allow the software to continue doing what it's doing, but make sure that when Susie comes up and wants to propose a new unit, not only does it get into our standard value list, it also gets into that other section of the PSDD.full.
Exactly.
That would essentially become an engineering node responsibility to make sure that both lists are updated.
Right. Yeah.
Well, now you're going to have a duplication of the units. Is that what you want?
Well, one's for human readable and one's for machine readable. Well, ultimately, no, we'd get rid of the machine readable version.
And update the software.
In a software update, but we won't do that until after we get the standard value populated. And that goes on the to-do list. If it gets up to a high enough priority, we'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, I can sort of have a fuzzy understanding that there are some reasons why unit ID standard values are special. I mean, it's referenced by every keyword that has units, and there is an extra relationship there, and as you pointed out, there's some other issues in terms of variations on those units. But I also agree with the nodes that this is a frustration that you can't simply pull up a list of the standard values for unit ID.
And what you say is also true for general data type, yet we have an standard values for that.
Well, I think there's a difference between unit ID and unit.
Actually, there isn't.
No, they're simply the long and short versions of the units.
It's not even that. Because the definition for unit is it provides the full name or standard abbreviation of a unit of measurement.
Well, I think they're used differently. What I mean is unit ID applies to keywords that are defined in the dictionary.
Ah, that's true.
It applies however you want to use it, say a column definition, which is not, columns can be named whenever you like. But
that's
they
true.
Units, and how do I say what the unit is? And
yes.
That's what that's for.
Well, we use unit all the time. In fact, we insist on it being present when it makes sense, when it's a value with a unit in our tables. We've never had anybody look at the unit and say, well, now where do I find a definition of that?
Well, not only definition, but the proper form.
The proper form, I think, is more the issue. I mean, for example, Newton meters is N.M in here as opposed to NM or something that other people might guess differently.
Yeah, things like that, or even a Newton force versus kilogram meters per second squared.
Right.
There's probably infinite variations and combinations.
Well, exactly.
Which kind of makes me think that unit ID should be left alone because it applies to keywords, but unit maybe shouldn't have any standard values.
I would agree with that. I suspect if I have to go through what I've had to go through for the past 3 years to get, for example, the unit ID for spacecraft target velocity vector changed, if it takes that long to get a new standard value into unit, I'm going to hang myself. I have not got the time or energy to have to submit an SCR every time we discover that yet another small body science unit is not in the data dictionary.
I would love to write the SCR that says unit should have no standard values.
It already has no standard values.
Well, but VTool
it has a standard value type of none.
VTool does not think so. It will tell you this is a good standard value or this is not.
Well, then that's a bug in VTool because
no,
the standard value type.
No.
The standard value type of unit is none.
I know, but nevertheless, I keep getting errors for what I think ought to be perfectly good units, like kilometers, from VTool, and that's my original question is, where is it getting this?
Okay,
and
well, kilometers are in this list. This is why I'm...
Oh, maybe it wasn't kilometers. It was some standard, you know, like miles per hour. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, but still, I think the point could be, maybe, Susie, you're getting at, you know, we all know kilometers is a valid unit, but... Do you put in KM or do you spell it out or?
I'll do whatever it takes to get it in there, but I couldn't find it in there at all.
Right.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I think we're going kind of in circles, and we're going in circles for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
We're becoming slaves to VTool. Now, VTool is handy in the sense that it's a literal interpretation of the data dictionary and the standards, and that's great. Where we have flaws in the documents, it's helped point them out. Perhaps what we need to do is drop this down to a working group of people concerned who figure out, first off, what we want to have from VTool in terms of testing units. And then second, what of those two, if either, need standard values, and then where they go and figure out what else. This looks like we're trying to be a working group of 22 here. We all agree that there is a problem with units and unit ID and the way that it's handled and checked by VTool. I don't know that I'm ready to step up and say, I wish VTool would just ignore it.
No,
but we need to figure out what it is we want VTool to do for us, and then we figure out how to give it the stuff to be able to do that. That makes sense?
Yeah. And actually, I remember in the VTool walkthrough at one point, the developers asked us, when you come to a bad unit, do you want it to be reported as a warning or an error? And there was some discussion, and the decision was an error. So we have gone over this once or twice before, but yeah, we do need to revisit it.
And probably it's controllable in the sense that you could put the new standard value, if we had it set as a standard value, you could do that as a local dictionary for that validation to cover a new unit value that you were using.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah. But I think that we have a cleanup that's going to be multi-phased, that's going to be, first off, figure out where we want, what do we want to have standard values, which don't. And the driver for that is going to be, what do we want checked? And I want to say right now, up front, I'm not the guy to write this SCR. I'm just making suggestions to help clarify the discussion.
Yeah, Susie, am I hearing you volunteering to write this SCR?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but I do have to say I agree with Mitch. I don't think we're ready to just say it shouldn't have standard values. I mean, you mentioned at one point miles per hour or something. I mean, I think the PDS has made a very explicit commitment to using SI units, and it's that kind
okay.
of thing that I think does need to be checked and caught.
I think maybe what I was thinking of was kilograms. Maybe that one's the one that's not on the list, or just grams. Maybe it has kilogram but not gram. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I'll write this SCR.
Okay.
Maybe I'll pass it by you once or twice before I actually submit it.
But what Elizabeth just said is a formation rule. If you go units are not a standard value list, then there's a formation rule for...
Formation rule for units would be awfully hard to come up with.
Well, no, it's actually Chapter 18. You know,
okay,
but then we're
back where we started, which is we don't have a standardized list. I mean, I think what I'm hearing from everybody is we want a standardized list so I know whether or not the unit that I've picked is going to be acceptable or not.
You're not hearing that from me.
Me neither.
I heard Susie was going to write an SCR that we could all look at.
Let's just do that. Okay. Susie, I think you need to have some engineering node understanding from somebody who's involved in, somebody who's got some familiarity with VTool and how it...
I'll volunteer.
Ron? Okay, yeah, go ahead. Susie, so there, we got at least one person on your working group. And then was there somebody else that I heard volunteer to be on the working group for that?
About Anne, since she has a similar problem.
I have no time. I have absolutely no time.
Actually, Susie, I think what you would be better off is somebody who doesn't agree with you.
Oh, darn.
I'll volunteer.
Who would that be?
I was agreeing with Susie.
Susie, Todd, and Ron. I think let's do that for starters. If anybody else wants to be on the working group, just let me know and we can.
Well, that's a dynamic group.
Yeah, I'm thinking that you don't need a working group leader. You need a ringmaster.
Okay, Susie, Todd, and Ron. Okay, and this is. Okay, let me see. How should standard unit symbols be, I don't know, cataloged or whatever? And
let me think about it before
should.
You think of a title.
I'm just putting something down for the minutes. You go away and figure out your title. This is not anything formal. And how should VTool?
If that list doesn't include air mass and log flux,
you can vote later, Ann.
Come back.
Okay. All right. Okay. We had the final item on the agenda was to resume the discussion of binned SCRs. Are we done with that temporarily? Because we've gone through and done all the PDS3 versus PDS4. We've done the kill versus no kill. What is there a next step, or is this something we can take off the agenda for a while?
This is all the hard ones.
Mitch and Ron, what did you want to do with that?
I'm sorry, I'm typing.
Pardon me?
What are we doing?
Okay, you have as the final item on the agenda, resume discussion of binned STRs. However, it is not clear to me what is the next step in that process. What did you guys want to do, given that we've finished the PDS3 versus PDS4 distinction now?
We did? We finished that? I thought that was what was the next step.
No, you guys, we said at the last telecon that basically, or two telecons.
Oh, that's right. You were going to go off. You had the action item.
And I did. I said all items were PDS3 by default, except for those ones that had four or more votes. Was it four or more?
Yeah, by the rule.
Anyway, we had a rule, and I went
through
and I applied the rule. We've got the listing.
Is it in the data? Is it in the online interface, or is that coming up?
The online interface does not reflect it yet. I can come up with a very quick MySQL dump that'll tell you which.
Well, I think we're done then, right? Assuming it's going to be reflected in the TOCOM interface, aren't we done? I mean, after people review it and make sure things are correct, right?
Can't connect.
I think so.
Yeah.
No connection, trying to reconnect.
Good.
Well, maybe
okay.
I can give you a quick dump. Okay, I can send out that list. Is that what you want me to do, or do you want me to just send it to Mitch and Ron and have them? What do you guys want done with that?
Yeah, you can send it to me. I can sort of look over it. But I think the proof is going to be in the online interface, yeah?
Yeah, when I can get time to get the online interface done. All right. Okay. All right. So is that agenda item, can that be dropped for the near term? Have we dealt with that?
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. Okay. All right. Last time you guys had mentioned that there was a conflict in 2 weeks with a regular standards telecon. What was the, is there some conference or something coming up?
Yeah, DPS is the 10th. Oops, muted.
I seem to have lost my internet connection. Somebody else is going to have to look at a calendar. Oh, wait, here we
go. DPS is in 2 weeks.
Okay, DPS. All right. So do we want to bump it to 3 weeks? 10/17 for the next telecon?
Yeah. And then we can go 2 weeks, every 2 weeks from there until early December.
Well, early December is going to be a mess because we've got the huge, humongous management council meeting. Plus, I think it's AGU is December.
AGU is in December, so we'll end up skipping a couple of meetings, and then we might have a Christmas
break. You know, the telecom parties aren't the greatest in the world.
Yeah,
so
did they schedule one this year? Christmas?
Yeah, actually, we could still have the telecon except for the English because it's going to be on Boxing Day.
Well, I'm Canadian. We have Boxing Day, so. All right. So 10/17 is the next telecon. And I think we're done. Ron, unless I'm forgetting anything.
Nope.
Okay.
10/17, right? Is that what you said? Okay.
10/17. Okay, I think we're done. Thank you.
Hooray.
All right, everybody take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.